First reading is from Isaiah chapter 55. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you that have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. See, you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to you. Because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We read the verses of Psalm 145. Lower voices read the light print. Higher voices read the bold print. I will read all the verses. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Lord, you are good to all, and your compassion is over all your works. The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up those who are bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon you, O Lord, and you give them their food in due season. You open wide your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. You are righteous in all your ways and loving in all your works. You are near to all who call upon you, to all who call upon you faithfully. You fulfill the desire of those who fear you. You hear their cry and save them. You watch over all those who love you, but all the wicked you shall destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord. Let all flesh bless God's holy name forever and ever. Second reading is from Romans chapter 9. I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it by the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my own people, my kindred, according to the flesh. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from them, according to the flesh, comes the Messiah, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to Matthew, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now, when Jesus heard about the beheading of John the Baptist, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves. Jesus said to them, they need not go away. You give them something to eat. They replied, we have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. But he said, bring them here to me. Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, and he blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. I would invite Cameron and Holden to come forward if they would like. Oh, and Lainey. Lainey could walk herself now if she wanted to. Go ahead and have a seat, Lainey. You got really into that Barbie movie when we watched it.
And now I am Ken, and my dog is Peach.
We memorized lines from the movie. Okay. Well, did you just hear that story that I told about Jesus taking 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish and feeding thousands and thousands of people?
Yeah.
Yeah? What do you think about that?
I mean, he could have technically took the five, made them, split them into crumbs, take on like 20 crumbs for each person, and then keep on giving 20 crumbs to each people until they were all filled. And then if some people still weren't filled, then he would get pieces of fish.
So you break those out into little teeny tiny pieces so they're even, everybody gets the same, that was measured in 20 crumbs, did you say?
Yeah.
Okay. So does 20 crumbs fill people up?
No, I mean, like, to start with 20 crumbs and then people still are filled, then you get more crumbs, and once they run out of crumbs, if people still aren't filled, then they start to get
so even though it's crumbs, Jesus just keeps, it just keeps being more crumbs. And the crumbs are enough. So you had enough crumbs? Okay, okay. Yeah, that's what I was wondering. I wonder how that happened. So you have an idea. Do you have an idea, Cameron?
I mean, like, no.
No?
Like, how would it look to see you eating something and then more coming out of it?
Mm-hmm. It's really hard to imagine. Well, you know what? You know how it happened? I don't know. None of us really knows. Are you going to go, like, steal from a store?
No.
Hmm. That's what it looks like on your face.
I mean, I could cut 2 eyeballs and...
Yeah, it's not a good idea, though. If you asked each of the people here, they might have a different idea about how that could have happened. You're welcome to do that. Not right now, but maybe after our service and fellowship. I don't know if you would hear 2 of the same stories. If you could listen to the synapses firing in each of our brains and the way our thoughts are coming together, I know that no 2 would sound the same. But you know what? We think about this and we wonder about this together as one body of people. We're all doing the same thing. Following, we know the answer.
God
in Jesus. Yes, you remember the best answer to give, but you don't necessarily know. You figured it out. All right, guys. You figured it out.
And wait, if you take Jesus, Jesus.
Jesus is with us.
Or Jesus.
That's your. Thank you for your theological insights. Well, let us pray together. Jesus, you have done miraculous things. You work in our lives as you did among people long ago in amazing, fantastic, and always new ways. Help us to wonder at your love, your care for this world, and at what you have in store for us throughout our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I don't want your shoes.
You don't want baby shoes? They won't fit you?
No, they will not.
Okay. You may return to your seats. Yeah? Help me.
I don't.
When Liana is away, it's interesting to see how the cousins, the other cousins, are going to handle babysitting duties, if you will. Having lost that of great value, it's natural to feel lost, to feel alone. Whether you're by yourself or even when surrounded by others who may be feeling just as lost. When we have lost so much, it's easy to feel like we have nothing left. Who and what we knew and loved is gone. As much as we may desperately wish that we could, we cannot go back. We cannot undo. We cannot restore what was. We are left feeling empty. Jesus lost his kin, John, in a most gruesome and sickening fashion. He grieved his loss as both God and human, a manner of grief you and I can very much understand and very much cannot. Jesus could not be alone with this loss. Not for very long, anyway. Not in any natural sense, as crowds followed him relentlessly when they heard the news. But in his grief, he alone had his experience, whatever it may have looked like from within, regardless of who all would not let him alone. There are some things about loss that are universal, beyond what words can explain, but which most certainly can be felt. There are also things about each individual journey with it that cannot be duplicated by anyone else. No, I don't know exactly how you feel in times like these, and nor can you feel exactly as I do. But there can be plenty that we share. And share, we must. It's unavoidable. As long as we have connection to other human beings and other created beings, we're going to share in some way or another, whether we like it or not, whether we are ready or not. When the disciples of Jesus share their concerns in the midst of this heavy and uncertain atmosphere, it's easy to look on from the outside and assume the worst, that they just don't want to deal with this problem and they want to be rid of it post haste. Send the crowds away so that they can buy food for themselves. But it's a presumptive judgment to do that. The disciples simply make an observation. There's all these people. They've got to eat. We've got nothing. We need to attend to some practical considerations here before it's too late. The sun is going down. And it's not necessarily that Jesus is rebuking his followers for not having faith that this situation could be handled. He reframes the issue. They don't have to go away. You give them something. For which the disciples of Jesus respond that they have nothing. But they share with this unwitting contradiction. Nothing but these five loaves and two fish. You and I may notice that's not nothing. But again, that's easier to see with an outside lens. For the question to us is, when have we missed something when there feels like there's nothing? Grief can blind us. Real loss clouds our vision, and that's not a value judgment, that's just the human condition. A fresh set of eyes, a new way of framing things, it helps. And it doesn't hurt if that outside perspective lends a bit of divine wisdom. Bring it to me. Christ's church universal exists in a great time of great loss. And there are common threads to grieving what's going on, but each of us, as individuals, has our own sense of it. What we can handle, what we won't admit that we can't, what and who are to blame, and so on and so forth. But Jesus' words echo still to God's church. You have something to give the world. Well, we have nothing, but God can work with a but. Can do quite a lot, it turns out. I say the church exists amid so much loss in the world, but I don't mean within the entire church. Yes, the number of errants to the faith is in a decades-long decline in the West. Yes, it took a while for that phenomenon to reach our shores, but we've seen it. There's no denying that it's had an impact at this point. We see it within our own walls in this building. But the church grows in number in the developing world, in Asia, in Africa, in pockets here and there, even a lot closer to here. And numbers are but one measure of growth. If it's the only one we use, we might never be satisfied. There are fewer people next to me in the pews, you may notice. And lament? Yes. And we do grieve that. But church, we have something to give to the people of this world. You or I may not always believe that. But Jesus does. The loss that we contend with is not just within segments of the church, but it's in a world that's hurting. I'm not an expert in the field, but it appears to me that unless you've been living under a rock for the last 3.5 years, even if you were, you would have to still be living under that rock this very day to not be impacted. If you're a human being on this earth, you recognize that you experience some level of trauma. For some, it might be relatively low, a fairly minor disruption of life. But it's not nothing. And for people who have lost loved ones to death in a painful manner, lost jobs and careers and aren't coming back, lost homes, lost all sense of who and what and where you and we are in this world, it's a lot worse. And when I say this, expert or not, I've yet to come across anyone who wants to argue the point or tell me I'm wrong. And to me, that speaks volumes. But none of us needs to be an expert to give of our love, our empathy, our mere, imperfect, but blessed humanity. For you or I might see nothing, God sees something. This congregation has lost some things. I would be lying if I said I didn't think that we stand to lose more. But we don't have nothing. We have something. Bring it to me, Jesus says. As I said with the boys, I don't know how the miracle worked for Jesus to take 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish and feed 5,000 men and more women and children, if anybody had bothered to count, and to end up with more left over than there was to begin with. Some scholars will provide a natural explanation that what the Lord started here was this inspiration for everybody to share what they already had with one another. And some historians doubt the historicity of the story altogether. And some will demand that we ought to do nothing but just take it at its literal face value. Now myself, I've wavered among all these schools of thought throughout the years. And at this point, I don't think it really matters. I listen. And I look at what I have. And a lot of times I agonize that it doesn't seem to be enough. Not enough wisdom. Not enough insight. Not enough business sense. Not enough understanding of God's word nor of God's people. Not enough energy to tackle a to-do list. It just keeps getting longer, never shorter. And maybe this resonates with you, with your own sense of loss and insufficiency. But maybe you also might hear, bring it to me. You have something to give. It's not nothing. And Jesus sees more than you or I do in any case. It'll take longer for us to see it. But give God your something. Then sit down and rest for a moment, just like those ancient crowds once did. That can be a hard message to hear, right? We keep wanting to try and do as much as we have always done before. But over time, that simply becomes impossible. It's okay to stop for a moment. Sit down. Let God be God. When you have given something, then give it a minute. Let God figure out what you might do next. I'm sure it's not nothing. It might be different. It might be hard to understand. It might not make any sense. You and I might feel lost. A different kind of lost, but lost nevertheless. But there are people all around you who are lost too. Each their own version of lost and working that out in their own way. But we are not alone. But we are with God. And God with us, and God is good. Which is something. Maybe. Just maybe that's enough.